I'm from Kerry. Please don't hold that against me. And if you don't understand anything, I just put your hand up and I'm slowed down. Thank you. My little piece of poetry, or whatever you want to call it, my scribbles, were about the politicians from Kerry who object to drink driving laws, but I decided not to read it. Right. So, many of my poems were about displacement, and I was very fortunate to win a prize with a poem about homelessness called Peripheral, which I'll read in a while. And I had a lot of poems written about my experience living in the UK. I graduated from UCC in 1992 and I left, and rather than settling in England, I actually was always very lonely, not wanting to return home but wanting to make a go of it. And I have a lot of poems from those experiences. And when I won the poetry competition with a poem about homelessness, I decided that displacement should be the theme of my book. I'm going to begin with a poem about my uncle, and it's the most difficult one for me to read, so I decided to get it over and done with first. And he was sent to the United States when he was 5, and we had a very big family, and he was given for adoption to his uncle in America. First flight. The smell of coffee, tar thick, pungent, chokes you. Like your siblings' names, too many to list without thinking. Deep pain. Served by a beauty pageant hostess. She sashays through the cabin aisle, tries to comfort you alone. Legs too short to reach the cabin floor. The propellers drone fretfully, churn through cloud faces. You see Mama in curlers, slippers, contemplating the words she'll write. The engine rattles your mind. Coffee still holds the taste of that terrible fight. So the next poem is 1992, and it's about moving to the UK. The year when I thought that we were all going to be this great big European community, and I didn't meet anybody who could speak French. We were all ready with all our languages and just didn't really go according to plan. 1992 was when I ate my first chip butty. Acquired a taste for curry houses that dished up biryanis, lassi. Lived in a terraced house near Little Beirut. My landlord, Mr. Woodhead, his caretaker, Mrs. Hudless. I walked through the park where students were raped every weekend. My grandmother, watching the reports on Sky News, begged my father to bring me home. 1992 was the year I knew methadone users, with smackhead friends who trickled in and out, lifting my ersatz silver when I left my flat unlocked. There were no patisseries in this city, just rundown cafes where pensioners drank tea from polystyrene cups, ate toasted tea cakes. I burrowed into postgraduate textbooks, devoured the advertisements, like mini movies on TV, walked anonymously in the university campus. Frank O'Connor, my companion, sitting on my bedside locker when I returned at night. My attic window looked down on the city, coal black, cold as steel. In 1992, as the Fokker 50 rattled over England, I looked down on one continuous housing estate stretching east from Manchester. Row after row, like combed hair, perfectly parted. So they were my first experiences. And it wasn't all bad, of course. And the city with the polystyrene cups did acquire patisseries. It just took a little longer. I was coming from the Bally Malou Cafe here, you know, where we used to go every day for our nice food, and they didn't have anything like that. So I had a friend, a Native American Indian friend, when I was in England, and because she had married an Englishman, she wasn't given permission. Without his permission, she could not leave the UK with the children. And they were separated, divorced in fact, and she wanted to go back to America. And so every time I met her, she moaned about the weather and how she'd like a dose of California sunshine. And I wrote this poem for her. Choctaw Girl. I stumbled upon you, a piece of driftwood, wedged on a rocky shore. Your voice wept like advancing waves. Your footsteps were the sorrowful drum of rain on sand. Your ancestors heard my forefathers fall silently as feathers. Their largesse quivered our waters, echoes in the conch's sea swish. You recognized my ancestry, so I'd become a quisling, forfeiting my homeland. Blood brothers from the start, we wove a plait of friendship from mutual displacement to lost spirits searching for a settled heart. Right, now I have to lighten up a bit. My friend, another friend, used to read tarot cards, because that's what we used to do. Everything. She'd tell me all the things I was going to do with my life. And this poem is for her, and she was always seeing, you know, looking for a second magpie or finding four-leaf clovers. So, Billa, which means sacred tree. And we found a golden oak in the south of England on a trip away. This poem is about that sacred tree at home. The acorn is my talisman. I squeeze it in the palm of my hand. Remember you rubbing a Buddha's belly as he sat cross-legged on your dressing table. The scent of incense rising like charmed snakes. Your polished nails dealt my cards, the king of wands. You prophesied print and travel. Children, a king. The grey city where you wore your perfume like a filter was cold as concrete. I saw no king, heard no birdsong. Then you took me to a field, a golden oak, king of trees, leaves the colour of sunshine, stretched out its arms, ready to embrace the world, and at our feet, a four-leafed clover. A little more misery, sorry, the winning poem from the Hannah Green Literary Award, Peripheral. The poem about homelessness. My roof is the sky, the wind, my walls. Every night, it blows the same word, homeless, homeless. In winter, it skins me. I hide in my hood. Tuck my knees into myself, but still I burn. I am empty on the edge of danger, a genie on a cardboard carpet. Hopeless, I dive into the bottom of a bottle, take comfort in its warm glow, see the stars shiver. For providing me with five words, and I entered it in a different competition. Anyway, there you go. So, a nice little poem about a local lady, and she grew up in a mountain called Mangerton, and she told us, she was a great storyteller, and she told us in a writing group about her mother and she just never wrote her stories down, so when she died I felt I just had to write her story for her. This poem is called Gorsland, and it's an elderly lady's mother, so it really goes quite far back. Before fair day, she'd scrub his pants and gansy on the washboard with sunlight soap. Pray he'd get a good price for the sheep. Enough to keep the children's feet from blistering. She loved the honeyed smell of a launder of sheets left to sun-dry on tufts of furs. Was grateful for her humble home on mountainous land where only sheep would grow. Under her bed, she kept a tea chest, a treasure trove of linen and lace, relics of her time in America before she was matched to my grandfather. High-necked blouses, swooshing skirts, dancing shoes, dainty as a doll's. Every now and then, she'd lay them out on the bed, promise them to me. Then fold each garment, tuck it back in place, perfume her tea chest with fresh mothballs. Milkman every morning. He was from Dawn Dairies, and for some reason we started off on a wave, and then it became hellos, and I just felt he deserved it all. The ubiquitous Dawn Dairies milkman. I see him at garages, supermarkets, corner shops, as I squeeze out of bottlenecked school traffic, filter into fast flowing town centre shoppers. A white coated apparition with a halo of white hair. He glows brighter and whiter than the early morning shufflers, the midday rushers. In a flash, I see him unloading crates from his dirty truck, creating a cold ripple as he walks. Travelling alone, the sight of him is as comforting as a mug of strong tea. I wave to this nameless milkman, and his return salute slices through the chilly air, his smile iridescent. So, I don't feel displaced anymore. I found my tribe in my writer's community in Kildare, and I'm very happy there, and so all the rest of the poems are about belonging. So I'll begin with Pulse. So this is about a phone call, a nightly phone call. Warm as a timber fire, your bass notes travel along invisible roads, fibres at the speed of light. I am mellowed by the tempo of your speech, light, reef. My words tinkle a decrescendo. Sentences step out of the silence, waltz down the cables, tap out fiber optic pulses. The blood red of my heart, orange sparks. Made afresh, so I spent a lot of time cleaning. And it's totally uninspiring, but somehow I managed to get a poem out of this. Meadow fresh. The floor smiles back as you breeze in. Orchid scented floor cleaner wafts up to meet you. I greet you with a sigh. My lips are rod straight, back, bridge bent. Cut knuckles sting in bleach-burned hands. I lean on the mop. In lackluster eyes you see today's struggle to press a dirty house into the shape of a meadow fragrant with flowers. By nightfall, the rub of your palms on my tired arches wipes clean the pain, all thoughts of unfinished work, the walls that fence me in, until I am weightless, brushed along by the swish of meadow grass, through cow parsley, ragged robin, the scent of lust tyler, and all is wildness and fragrant, and I am smiling. Now, on the theme of weightlessness, my friend's father died and she described holding the urn while it was still warm. And I thought, oh my God, I have to write a poem about that. So this is a tribute to my dead friend's dad. Weightless. Your ashes are warm, as if you are still here. They weigh heavy, as if your bones have not yet assumed the shape of an urn. As your ashes are scattered, a biting wind scoops them up. You rise weightless, unburdened by illness, as if your spirit has wings and you are flying above the waves, grey and foamy, becoming part of where you settle, as if you were still here, will always be here. Can I just ask how I'm set for time? I forgot my phone up there.
All right, John.
How long for that?
15.
15 minutes? All right, that's great. That's fine. So the last poem from this book I'm going to read is Homeward. And I had the most wonderful experience at my book launch in Kimmere. It was just this huge turnout of friends and family and people who don't even like poetry. And by the time I got to the last line, there were tears coming down my face. It was just wonderful. So here's my Homeward poem. I turn onto the Kilgarvan Road, reception lost, the outside world cut off. The car is teased by corkscrew turns, its roaring stops, the engine hums. The sacred oak leans towards me, waves me on, past endless fir forests. Arrowhead bristles, pointing proudly skywards. Moss-blanketed walls give way to brown, tufted drumlins, a scrubland of rushes, gorse. Candy floss clouds puff up, wash the windscreen with a soft drizzle. I am home. That is the last line of my book. I've been writing over, since I actually submitted the poems to the manuscript publisher, which was last January, I think, or December actually, I've been writing on my second collection, putting it together. And trying to write poems, you know, that fit with the theme, which is nature and the environment. So I told Paul I had no more poems, new poems, but sure, they're all on my phone. I just had to pluck out a few emails that I sent. So I'm going to read a poem about my trip to Virginia when I was a visiting scholar at UVA when I was younger, back in the days, and I dreamt before I ever went there that there would be lots of trees, and indeed there were lots of trees. I don't know the name of the man, but he went around planting pine trees. Yeah. Do you know his name?
Oh no, but I read about it.
So it was wonderful. There was a really great energy about the place, and this is what I wrote about Virginia. Virginia, I will be back. I will smell your balm of pine, touch its bark, cracked and scab crusted. Recline in the arms of your creaking swing chair. Gaze at the bowl-bellied possum, the groundhogs curled up in the scrub. I will feel your heat. Listen to the gospel lift from the wooden church and gasp as the cardinal bird flashes red in the branches before it takes flight and rises. Glorious wings fanning a blue sky. I'm just going to have to pick a couple more. I'm going to read, one second please, burnout. So I've written a few about damage to the environment, and this poem has not yet been published, but here we go. Burnout. Inaudible at first. A hairline fracture, stretched to breaking. A skin punctured by parched earth. Heat rising, ear thick with noxious gases. If you press your ear to the ground, it's the scream of ice caps cracking. A slaughter of trees, groaning as they fall, and corkscrew winds howling, twisting and howling, as water rises and we spin hotter and faster, burning ourselves out. So I was featured poet recently in the Curlew with six nature poems, and this is another OVL 5 words poem, which I found on my computer recently, and I've never submitted it, but I think this really should be like the one of, you know, the title of the book, Elixir, because the work I'm going to do is ending on a very positive note. In fact, it's actually, it talks about environmental damage or has poems on the subject, but it finishes on dealing with poems that show our connectedness with nature and our need to connect to nature. Elixir. Distill summer from the grey sky that slugs my stride. Clouds, the spring in my heart. Bottle and cork it for winter. An elixir to ignite my soul, fire its zeal, steel my nerve to tangent the circle that keeps me from the dance. And this poem was accepted by Orbis last week, and this was when I lived in England and I killed a bird, and you'll work out why in a second. It's called Pellets. A stripe of city garden, borders sown with yellow red, slug-eaten tulip heads, leaves nibbled back to stalk, scores slop into tubs of beer. Growing careless, I sprinkle pellets like hundreds and thousands, ignore the warnings. A memory I can't uproot, that lifeless wagtail supine, wings folded like a budding tulip's petals. I've been writing about that word for years. Lots of different forms. I suppose, just to finish with something different, I'm going to read a haiku. Is that okay? That won't bore everyone to tears. A haiku, just something different. So this is called Skin, and it's about how we used to sun ourselves. It is 1975, and my daddy has come home early from work. He and Mammy are sunning themselves on white plastic chairs at the back door. Mammy is wearing a bikini. Daddy has stripped down to his winter white wife runs. His pasty skin is speckled with russet freckles. Mammy is the colour of a chestnut. We haven't yet heard of ozone, UV rays, and do not use sun cream. The radio is blasting out Rhinestone Cowboy. And in between slugs of my waddy orange juice, my sister and I whinge about the heat. I grab a St. John's wort flower and am stung by a bee. I bawl with all the force of my lungs. Eventually I finish crying and fall asleep. I will grow accustomed to pain. This summer and next, the sun will paint red admiral wings on my limbs. I will burn so badly that I cannot bear the touch of cotton sheets. Eventually, the blaze will subside and my skin will peel. Only my mother's skin will darken. And the haiku is, skin flares, another salad for tea. Thank you very much.
I'll do that.